I'm Maria Z of zmedia.com, and this is Vigilant Fox's Media Blackout. The globalists keep telling us another pandemic is coming. Something that went from being a one in a 100 year event has now become something that Bill Gates can predict, I don't know, annually. But what if they know something we don't? Those who were warning of the dangers of the COVID injections from the beginning were warning that there would be dire consequences for those who received the COVID shots. We've seen some of those dire consequences, sadly, in the form of aggressive cancers, heart problems, sudden death. The list goes on. But what of the immune systems of the vaccinated that have been obliterated? World-renowned Belgian virologist Geert van den Bosch issued a grave warning of an imminent massive tsunami of COVID illnesses and deaths among the vaccinated that will collapse hospitals and cause financial, economic, and social chaos. On the Künstlercast podcast on Friday, Bosch said, "What I am predicting is a massive, massive tsunami of illness and death among highly vaccinated populations with compromised immune systems. You will see what will happen. For example, in the next coming weeks, is more and more cases of more serious long COVID. They will start to replace the surge of the cancers. Now we have a more chronic phase. It will end with a hyper-acute phase, a huge, huge wave. I've been studying this now for 4 years. I know what I'm talking about. I'm probably the only person, in all modesty, who understands the immunology behind this," Bosch said. This is an important quote. He says, "The thing I want your audience to understand, what we will be facing in the hyper-acute COVID crisis that is imminent, is that we will have to build a completely new world. It is very, very clear that when this starts, our hospitals will collapse. And that means the chaos in all kinds of layers of society, financial, economic, social, you name it, will be complete." Well, the final nail in the coffin of the social structure, economic structure, and health industry certainly does sound like one of the goals they want to achieve. Here to discuss this further is Dr. Geert van den Bosch himself. He joins us now. Dr. Geert van den Bosch, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Maria, for having me again. Thanks.
Oh, absolutely. You've been right about so much from the start. And so this is why we wanted to talk to you about this latest alarming statement that you've made. You've said, "What I'm predicting is a massive, massive tsunami of illness and death among highly vaccinated populations with dysregulated immune systems." Dr. van den Bosch, can you please break this down for us and explain why you think this is going to happen soon?
Well, yeah, Maria, I will do my very best to summarize this, but of course there is a lot of immunology involved in this. And as you know, the immune system has been evolving as well as the virus has been evolving. And in fact, what is important to understand is that the detrimental course of this pandemic has in fact, after the mass vaccination has been caused by Omicron, by the vaccine breakthrough infections. So when the virus breaks through the immune defense, you have to compare this like with an enemy that breaks through the immune defense of a country, right? It's going to overwhelm that country. And so that is what we have seen, that Omicron is causing vaccine breakthrough infections. And what you have, same with the military, when the key forces, can no longer resist, when the crucial fire lines are defeated, then you call up the reservists, right? Those guys, of course, are not as well trained, and their defense is suboptimal. That is exactly what we have seen with the immune system after, the neutralizing, after the virus started developing resistance to the key forces and the neutralizing antibodies, etc. We know all this. found out that Omicron, that caused the vaccine breakthrough infections, was all of a sudden largely resistant to the neutralizing antibodies. And then we have seen that a new kind of immune response was developing. These were the what I call the reservists that are called up. We call this in immunology immune refocusing, refocus to another type of immune response, which, however, is suboptimal. And that's my point. These suboptimal immune responses have ultimately led to immune escape, because it's easier for the enemy, of course, to overcome an immune defense if the immune defense is weak, if the immune defense is suboptimal. But not only that, the suboptimal immune responses have also led to immune pathology. So very easy. People should bear in mind that the immune defense against a virus like SARS-CoV-2 should do two things. Either it should simply kick out the virus by neutralizing it, or when the virus has already infected the cells, it should kick out the infected cells. Now, the first is taken care of by neutralizing antibodies, and the second is taken care of what we call cytolytic T cells that have the capacity to kill. Now, when you overcome those forces and you call up the reservists with suboptimal immune defenses, well, your antibodies are going to be suboptimal. These suboptimal antibodies have differentiated into, well, for the experts, right, the IgG4 antibodies that have caused immune pathology. And then after that, we have seen when also the cytotoxic T cell defense has been overcome by the virus, that we have developed, seen that people developed suboptimal T cell responses that are now, Maria, the cause of long COVID, of immune pathology. So what we are seeing is that the virus has evolved, or the pandemic, from an acute phase, as the WHO is saying, we are over the acute phase of the pandemic. But they didn't tell you that the pandemic is now evolving to a chronic phase. And this chronic phase, the suboptimal immune forces that are now playing, are not only, because those things go hand in hand, promoting immune escape, but also in tandem, promoting immune pathology. And that is exactly what we are seeing. And of course, the virus is continuing to evolve and will ultimately, there is no doubt, immunologically speaking, there is no doubt about this, will overcome this very last resistance by these suboptimal forces. When that happens, of course, when the last hurdle of resistance is gone, is breached, then of course, there is no immune resistance whatsoever left in the vaccinated population. There is immune defense left, of course, in the unvaccinated population, because those guys have, during this whole trajectory, have been able to train their cell-mediated innate immunity. That has not happened with the vaccinees. I've explained this multiple times in several different interviews and in several different articles.
Well, I want to ask you, Dr. Van der Bosch, in terms of, you know, long COVID, the rising cancers, and you know, people just becoming sick with all sorts of illnesses. Now, a lot of people attribute that to the dangers of the injections. They are causing, you know, multiple different illnesses and excess deaths around the world. Are you saying, though, that this is basically because their immune systems are, for the layman, destroyed? They're not able to fight off diseases and illnesses that they would normally be able to fight off?
Yeah. Well, Maria, again, it's a very difficult topic. I will try to be very concise. There is a misunderstanding. People are often talking about exhaustion, etc. The right word to use here is immune dysregulation. Because remember, we still have continuously reinfections, re-exposure by a virus that is now incredibly infectious, much more infectious than the original Omicron variants that were already way more infectious than the previous variants. So their immune system is still, to some extent, able to contain the virus, right? And remember, they are still, to some extent, protected against severe disease. So what is happening is really dysregulation. And is it the virus or the vaccine? To your question, no. The reason for this are the vaccine breakthrough infections, hence the virus, but only in vaccinated people. So it is in fact the vaccination that has led to the generation of Omicron. Omicron has led to the vaccine breakthrough infections. These vaccine breakthrough infections, as I just explained, have led to suboptimal immunity that on one hand side has led to an imperfect control of the viral replication and has secondarily led and is still leading to immune pathology, including cancer. So it is this complex interplay of repetitive virus breakthrough infections in highly vaccinated people that is responsible for both immune escape and immune pathology that go hand in hand. It's just that at this time, the immune pathology is more obvious than the disease because, frankly speaking, acute cases of COVID-19 disease, acute hospitalizations, acute rates of acute death have tremendously dropped, right? And this is what is so insidious that, in fact, at this stage, the virus is evolving in a very silent way. The clinical symptoms are still to some extent under control, but what you see right now is still a virus that is strongly evolving. And many of the vaccinees, because the disease is relatively under control, are now shedding the virus in an asymptomatic way, which is just promoting further spread. And you can
what
imagine,
we know
as
is
with
that
an army, there is a limit to all this. There is a limit to the immune defense. Even if you call the reservists, there is a limit, right? And that limit will soon be reached. There is no doubt about this. I have made a mistake in my timeline at the beginning. I apologize for this, but what was the reason? I have not taken into account that reservists would be called in. And the reservist is nothing else than the immune refocusing, the fact that the immune system could catch up to some extent, but insufficient to control the virus. In the meantime, virus infections have been prolonged, which has enabled the unvaccinated population to train better and better to become almost like completely resistant to the virus. And that is what is ultimately going to generate a herd immunity that we need to completely stop end this pandemic.
This
So
is
it
what
will
you said
evolve.
to me a very long time ago. You said the unvaccinated are the ones who are going to help us generate herd immunity. And certainly we see the health in general of the unvaccinated being vastly superior to those that have had the injections.
Absolutely.
What I want to note is that we've had warnings that another pandemic is coming and Disease X and the WHO is preparing with their amendments to the international health regulations and also the CA Plus or pandemic treaty or, all the different names that they give it to basically resume world power through a medical dictatorship of sorts, based on the fact that another pandemic is coming. So they clearly know they're preparing for something. I can see how what you're describing could be that type of situation could be used to declare another emergency.
Yeah, interestingly enough, Maria, this new virus that will ultimately be the dictator, it will be the only one that is still able to overcome all these hurdles, immune hurdles. That virus will look very, very differently. It will no longer be a SARS-CoV-2 virus. It will still be a coronavirus, but of a completely different type because of several different mutations, not only in spike protein, but also in other viral proteins. It will have a different glycosylation profile. For people who don't understand the term glycosylation, this is the sugar coat on the virus that nobody's talking about, will also completely change. So this virus will indeed be looking very, very differently from SARS-CoV-2, which could be a reason for health authorities to say, see, we have warned you, a new virus yes. would pop up. No, it is the direct consequence of the continuous vaccine breakthrough infections that are responsible for the derailment of the immune system. And the vaccine breakthrough infections have originated from Omicron, which was a scourge, not a blessing, because Omicron directly resulted from the mass vaccination campaigns during a pandemic, not being able to control the virus while exerting immune pressure on the virus.
Dr. Van den Bosch, you've made the statements. We've got a couple of minutes left here today. You've made the statements that antivirals will be crucial for people. Obviously, ivermectin has performed incredibly well. Is this still your position?
The opposition.
Your position.
I'm strongly, of course, recommending people to take those antivirals, because when we will see this virus popping up, which I expect, I said, and I maintain these timelines, and I promise everybody, I will no longer change those timelines. I said 50% chances that it happens before the end of April, 99% chances that it happens before the end of June. But what will be the features of those virus is that it will cause enhanced severe disease, not only severe, enhanced severe disease. So using those antivirals at the time where symptoms start will be too late. People will need to take them prophylactically. And this is not a joke. I said, and I predicted, that these health authorities, the same that in fact were censoring the use of ivermectin, will see themselves forced to issue mandates for ivermectin and antivirals, because it will be the only way to a large extent to reduce the losses, because what you have to do is to prevent the vaccine breakthrough infections. So you have to prevent infections. If their immune system can no longer do this of the vaccinees, you have to intervene almost not with mass vaccination, for God's sake, but with mass antiviral prophylactic treatment.
Well, let me just say I won't be mandated into any medication, but I can appreciate your point.
No, but it's the kind of joke, but you understand what I'm saying.
I do. Dr. Van den Bosch, we appreciate your time today. Thank you. Can you please let people know where they can follow your work and find more information about all of your research?
Well, people should really read my latest articles on Voice for Science and Solidarity, which is my website, Voice for Science and Solidarity. It makes all sense, I think. And my articles are becoming shorter, but they are very much to the point. And I'm myself in state of highest alert right now, because I'm afraid of the chaos that this will cause on the healthcare system.
Well, we appreciate your time and your insight, Dr. Van den Bosch. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Maria.
We'd certainly like to thank Dr. Van den Bosch for joining us and giving his perspective on the current situation. Some have weighed in saying there's no evidence to back up these claims as yet, but one thing is certain. Dr. Van den Bosch's timeline coincides with the dates the World Health Organization wants to have their international health regulations amendments embedded into international law, legally binding on every single country to follow their mandates in a future health emergency. A future health emergency would no doubt be helpful to their argument and power grab. We know from last time that they can't be trusted, and Dr. Van den Bosch agrees. There are many theories regarding the effects of these so-called vaccines and COVID, with many experts stating that it may be long COVID that people are suffering from. Some say there's no such thing as long COVID, that COVID is dangerous, that it's no more than a sniffle, that viruses exist, that viruses don't exist, that millions more will die from the injections, that the deaths from the injections are slowing down, and the debate goes on. The key point here is that scientific debate must continue to be had with no censorship of these issues. The science is never settled. We'll be keeping a close eye on his predictions and whether the authorities decide to capitalize on such a situation if it does manifest.
Of course, I've read some key documents, and I must say, to some extent, it also blew me away, right?
But it seems, seems nefarious, actually.
That is, of course, but again, my viewpoint is that what has currently happened, or what is currently happening, that we have been turning through this mass vaccination a relatively harmless virus, not completely harmless, but relatively harmless, we have been turning this through massive gain of function into really a weapon of mass destruction, right? And that is the thing we first have to deal with. You know, every time in business, you have to prioritize. Well, if there is one thing that I put on the very top of the list, then it is how are we going to deal with the kind of virus that is circulating right now, and is in no regard when it comes to its biological properties comparable to the kind of Wuhan virus that invaded our countries 4 years ago. And this will be the big topic. For me, it's the only big topic. All the rest, you know, we will have to deal with it afterwards. But I'm sure that many of the topics that are now on the agenda will simply be canceled. For many reasons, not to hide things, but you know,
which topics are you speaking of?
For example, the origin of the virus, many of the lawsuits, etc., will all be cancelled. These are things that take a lot of time. People don't imagine. Most people think I'm just a crazy man, but what I'm really predicting is a massive, massive tsunami. And then you have you have hundreds of items on your agenda. But if such a thing happens, I mean, many of these agenda points just get wiped off the table, of course. So I think the trick is to be able to concentrate on what is most important. And I'm not saying that all of the other topics on the agenda are not important. They are very important, but we will have to deal with the most important things first and see what is left then to deal with. But to your point, I've also been surprised with all what's going on, or what has been going on behind the scene, where people have this kind of very, very suspicious research projects, and to some extent want to patent things or patenting things, viruses, that then ultimately appear to be the circulating virus in the population. So how does that rhyme? It's very, very difficult. I don't know, but I'm a scientist, and I'm saying the most important from a scientific viewpoint is now the threat of the currently circulating virus, given the dysregulated immune response in millions of vaccinated people, right?
Now, you've said very clearly in more than once that you expected a great deal of trouble in a fairly quick time frame upcoming in the months ahead. What can people do who are worried about their immune systems? We know here in the USA, we have a number of organized doctors such as Peter McCullough and his group, who have various treatment protocols for vaccination problems, you know, namely spike proteins that's circulating in people's system. Do you have any idea on your own what people might do in the face of this problem?
Yeah. Well, you know, James, you are recording all this, and I'm very happy about this because nobody believes me. Nobody, even these frontline doctors, don't believe me when I say, guys, none of your treatments will work because it will go too fast. It will go extremely fast. It will be a hyper acute a tsunami, right? Mm-hmm. Where people who start to show symptoms will pass out, pass away within 24 hours, right?
Oh, my Nobody's, goodness.
Yeah, nobody believes me. Of course, nobody believes me. That is why it is good and it is exceptional that you can record my words. And yeah, in the sense that, okay, I mean, it is documented, right? So because what happens is that what is deteriorating the situation is every single reinfection, re-exposure of people who have been vaccinated. And you will see, and you know, you can write this down or it is recorded. You will see that what happens, what will happen, for example, in the next coming weeks is that you will see that we will have more and more cases of more and more serious long COVID. Please remind it, more cases, a higher prevalence of more cases and more severe cases of long COVID.
That is the chronic presentation of the disease.
They will start to replace the surge of the cancers, right? So things will go, so we go, remember, from an acute disease, I just explained it, acute self-limiting. Now we have a more chronic phase. It will end with a hyper-acute phase, a huge wave. And of course, nobody, you know, I've been studying this like for 4 years. I know what I'm talking about. I'm probably the only person, in all modesty, who understands the immunology behind this. And so what I can advise, and I have done many, many videos to make people aware to all the vaccinated people, is that they should start. What do they need to do? Well, they need to avoid reinfection. It's very simple because it's the reinfection that is now the cause. The reinfection in the vaccinated people, that is what the culprit is. That is what is responsible for deteriorating the situation. So if your immune system cannot avoid infection, what can you do? Well, the only thing you can do, it's very, very simple, is take antivirals, of course. The only difference is that you will not be able to wait for taking these antivirals till you have symptoms. So what I'm advising is as soon as people see that in one or the other state, for example, in the United States, this thing starts with, you know, hospitalizations and deaths going up very rapidly, they need to take antivirals prophylactically, not wait till they have any symptoms. Because I can tell you, I'm in Belgium, if it starts in the US or if it starts in Israel or if it starts in the UK, I bet you that within a few days, you will see the same scenario in many of these highly vaccinated countries, but not in Africa, of course. No problems with long COVID in Africa. There will be no tsunami in Africa, right?
Yeah.
Because it's herd immunity. We don't have herd immunity.
And low vaccination rate.
Of course.
Now, when you say antiviral, are we talking about these pharmaceuticals that were demonized by the public health, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and others like it?
You have been following the evolution of the FDA, their position towards ivermectin in the recent days?
Yes. Well, they seem to be making a pivot.
Yeah. You know, what I have been predicting already half a year ago, that the public health authorities are going, or finally going to have mandates for ivermectin vaccination. I mean, this seems a little bit hilarious, right? But that is the kind of evolution that we are going to see, because which antivirals could you use? Listen, when you hear Pierre Corrie and other experts, I mean, the results with ivermectin are fabulous. It is very safe. It is the only antiviral that is cost effective, that is widely available, can be supplemented in sufficient quantities, and that is safe. There is simply no alternative. Yeah, maybe hydroxychloroquine, etc., but this is, let's say, the same ball game. And the public health authorities will come too late with their ivermectin mandates. But you see already how they are evolving, how their position is evolving.
Well, also you can see how that, if they do that, that will really disorder the reputation of medicine.
But
worse than it already is.
Who cares?
Well, it's not so much.
Wait a minute. You know, the thing I want your audience to understand is that what we will be facing in terms of the hyper-acute COVID crisis that is imminent is that we will have, and that is the positive news, we will have to build a completely new world, right? So there won't be the FDA anymore or all these folks, you know, they, I don't know where they will be going, you know. What will happen to them, it's very uncertain. But it's very, very clear that when this starts, our hospitals will collapse. And when the hospitals collapse, that means that the chaos, yeah, in all kinds of layers of society, financial, economic, social, you name it, you know, the chaos will be complete, right? And that is what I'm very clearly predicting. And I'm not a fool. Yeah, I'm a scientist, right? Mm-hmm. I insist people can look at my curriculum. I've been talking like 4 years about this. I've written many, many articles. People can ask me questions. I'm teaching online courses, lectures on epidemiology and pandemics and epidemics, etc. And, you know, it's very strange for me to make such statements. But, well, you know, I'm not hiding it because I'm 200% convinced that it will happen.
One final question. Have you been personally persecuted for spreading this information? Because that's certainly the case in the USA, where doctors have opposed the public health establishment and the medical establishment. Have you been under attack?
Well, I've been a little bit under attack in Belgium by a bunch of, you know, immunologically or scientifically illiterate journalists, etc. But I've not really been suffering. But listen, of course, I have my strategy. First of all, I've been lucky. Why? Because I'm still, you know, a veterinary doctor, right? I'm not a medical doctor. I have not a practice in medical, you know, I have not a medical practice. And secondarily, I've never been naming certain names. You know, I've never been attacking people individually. When I talk about, you know, idiots, public health authorities, etc., I have no problem if I talk about the WHO, but I'm not going to cite particular names, for example. And the third thing is that everything I'm saying, even if I make very strong statements, I can back them up with scientific data, right? My discourse is scientific. I'm a scientific activist, right? But I'm not the guy who turns to conspiracies or things that I cannot prove or that I don't know for sure. Not necessarily pretending they're wrong, but if I don't know it for sure, you won't hear me about this. If it's not my field of expertise, I will delegate it to other people, etc. But I will always very clearly express my opinion on the things I know without attacking people in person, right? So yeah, I've not been suffering too much, and also I've been being in Belgium. I've primarily been speaking in the US and abroad, not that much in my country, because I wanted to reach as many people as possible. Yeah, if I give an interview in Belgium, there is 30 people who will watch. If I do it on a US platform, I can add a few zeros, right?
Well, this has certainly been and is going to continue to be a very strange period of world history. I want to thank you very much for coming on the podcast. And this will be a bit of a cold shower for a lot of listeners out there. But I think your message is very important, and we should be very careful of how human affairs proceed in the months ahead. So thank you very much, Dr. Geert Vandenbosch. Is there any particular website that you have that you would encourage listeners to go to for information?
Yeah, well, we publish all the information, all my articles, interviews, etc., are published on the website Voice for Science and Solidarity. So, Voice for Science and Solidarity, because I think these are two notions that are very important to science, and also solidarity, no discrimination whatsoever towards vaccinated people. Like, it was also completely ridiculous to discriminate or the unvaccinated at the beginning of these vaccination campaigns.